Again, we're recording at the 1968 Pittsburgh Pipers ABA World Champion 50-year anniversary reunion, and we welcome on the set Mark Whited, who is the author of a book regarding this ABA team and also one of the organizers of the reunion. How's it going?
It's today, going Mark? Great. It's going great. Today, I made 6 trips to the airport over the last 2 days, picked 2 guys up Thursday night from New Mexico and Oregon, picked up four more trips yesterday. You would have loved it, sitting there. Each trip back from the airport was like listening to basketball history, having guys argue about who was the best player in Spain, the best player in Greece, who was a better guard, who couldn't pass, who couldn't shoot. It was pretty awesome. Today we had a press conference at noon. We had KDKA-TV come by. They did some camera work.
Nice.
The press conference went 2 hours.
2 hours?
I'm sorry. More like an hour and 40 minutes.
Well, that's still
a long
time.
The guys loosened up, you just couldn't believe the stories you were hearing.
And this is a fantastic
stuff.
Mark, this is a fantastic event. Standing room only. People still flown in. How many people do you expect?
And I don't even know what table I'm sitting at.
Well, I think that's important. I think that's important, Mark. You need to find that out. Somebody might have your seat.
I know. I'm going to try to prevent that from happening.
So
I even have a guy from high school here who I grew up right over there. We played stickball together every summer, every day. You know,
wow.
The broomstick, the tennis ball,
exactly.
The school.
Old school.
Yeah.
Old school.
So I got him.
So, again, we're celebrating the 50-year anniversary.
So here's what it's all about. May 4th, 1968. That was 50 years ago last night. The Pittsburgh Pipers were the first ABA champions, led by Connie Hawkins. On their way there, they swept through the Indiana Pacers. They have a Hall of Famer, Roger Brown. They beat the Minnesota Muskies, Hall of Famer Mel Daniels. And then they beat the New Orleans Buccaneers in the championship. Charlie Williams scored 35 points in Game 7. It's the last Pittsburgh championship won at home.
The last one, ladies and gentlemen, in Pittsburgh.
And I got to go.
At home. And I know you have to run because you have your hands all in it. Thanks for stopping by.
You're welcome.
We're going to talk to some of the players as they flow through. So we could understand.
I'll get you one.
What type
I'll
of
get,
experience?
You want me to get you one? I'll
Sounds
get
good. One. Sounds good. So, Trev, as I indicated, this is a great event. People are starting to flow in. Standing room only. I know you don't remember the ABA championship, do you?
No, man. I was too little then. I mean, I was alive, but I mean, I was too little. But you know what I do remember, and I go back. I remember in the 70s, the ABA, because I got to see Dr. J. Julius Erving playing with the New Jersey Nets. He played with the Virginia Squires to start off. They used to have a Dr. J and Dr. K.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know this, but Larry Keenan, who played for the San Antonio Spurs, played with Dr. J on the New York Nets, and it was Dr. J, Dr. K. That's how I got turned on to the ABA, watching those two go at it. The ABA is an awesome thing. I remember that when I was little. I don't remember the Pipers winning the championship. I know the Pipers were a team, but I don't remember them winning a championship because I was too little then. But
But you know what, Trev? You know, you're always finding out new information once you dig into history.
Right.
And
that's true.
I have the privilege to hold an official ABA ball.
The red, white, and blue.
And I know about the ABA.
Uh huh.
But one of the things that I didn't realize. As far as the basketball, I knew it was multicolored, but I thought it was red, white, and blue.
Mm-hmm.
This looks more like orange, white, and
blue. Yeah, it does. But it was red, white, and blue, I thought, you know.
Well, we have that just joined us, Jim Jarvis, from the Pittsburgh World Champion, Pittsburgh Pipers.
Thank you.
Welcome to the set.
Well, it's nice to be here, I'll tell you.
And Jim, I was just indicating that the basketball was actually orange, white, and blue. Is that right? Or
well, I don't know. This is a, you know, this is a remake, so the colors may not exactly match.
Or did you all change up every game? Was it like green, white, and blue?
No, yellow, white, and blue.
I just wanted to make sure. But it's great to actually have an official basketball in my hands. So this is a great reunion, 50-year reunion, celebrating your world championship. And can you elaborate a little bit, Jim, on the role that you played? Talk about some of your teammates and that journey to a world championship.
Well, it was an interesting league, and it was interesting for all of us because most of us that played on that team had been drafted by NBA teams. But at that time, there were only 11 NBA teams, so maybe 14 or 15 guys out of the college world had a place in the NBA, but and just with limited space. So when the ABA cropped up, suddenly we all started getting phone calls and kind of changed our life pattern again, gave us another opportunity. And I was fortunate enough to play with some great guys. I think from a team standpoint, it's nice that you have a mix. We had a lot of different personalities, as most teams do.
Okay.
Connie Hawkins being the guy.
We all knew
that Connie was the guy. And then Chico Vaughn and Charlie Williams were the starting guards, and they were great shooters. And it was a running game. You know, that league was really a running game, and the three-point line opened up spaces that weren't there before, and it was a fun league to play in.
What did you say about the three-point line?
Well, we had the three-point line, and what the three-point line does is bring defenders and everybody out further on the court. So it opens up more space for penetration and point guards be able to kick the ball out to the perimeter. And it's really what you see now, even in the pro game, but in the college game, coaches have adapted to that. And if you pay attention now, most of the time there's four or five guys outside the three-point line.
Yeah, but you're giving me information that I wasn't aware of, Trev. I'm not sure if you were aware of that.
What, the three-point line?
That the ABA had the three-point line.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So
definitely.
What happened?
They made
so
it famous.
Once the ABA went away and the NBA was the major basketball league, they didn't have a three-point line, if I'm not mistaken.
They took it off of what we did in the ABA.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the three-point line in the NBA started right after that time period?
I would assume it started when the two leagues merged, but I'm not exactly sure what the date was.
Because I thought it wasn't there initially, and it came later on, but again, that's just new information on me. But if I can go back as far as the making of the Pittsburgh Pipers, how did you get on the team? Were you drafted? Did you all have a draft? Were all the players free agents? How did that happen?
Well, it's kind of a long-term story. For me in particular, I was originally drafted by San Francisco in the NBA, and I had some foot injuries, broken feet and stuff, and wasn't able to make that team. And I played a year of pro baseball before with the Philly organization.
Nice.
And then after the season, when the league announced, suddenly I started getting phone calls from different teams. Anaheim Amigos called me first, and the Oakland Oaks called me, and the Denver team called me. And each one of them made a different offer. And Denver made me what I thought was by far the best offer, and I called Anaheim up to tell them I was going to sign with Denver, and Anaheim said, well, we had a secret draft, and we drafted you. You can't sign with anybody but us. And I said, well, what'll you do for me? He said, well, come down here with 100 other guys and try out. And I said, no, I don't think so. I'm married and have two kids.
Uh-huh.
And it's got to be a little bit more than that. And then, so the league got started, and I was back at Oregon State doing graduate work, and my wife one night said, at midnight, I was laying awake, she said, you're not happy, are you? And I said, no. She said, you want to be playing ball? And I said, yeah. She said, let's get up and write every team in the league and the ABA a letter. So we got up in the middle of the night, wrote this letter. By then, I guess Anaheim didn't care, and mailed it off. And about 5 days later, I get a call from Vince Cazzetta saying, you know, I got your letter, and we need another guard. And he said, I remember you from college, and I'm pretty sure you can make a team. When can you be here? And I said, how about tomorrow? And the next night, I was in a uniform playing in a game.
Nice. And you came in from where at that time?
I came in from Oregon.
Oregon. And yeah. How did you get here?
Flew in.
You flew in. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. I knew the trains and everything were more popular in those days as well, so I wasn't sure if you hopped on a train also. And where are you located at now?
Corvallis, Oregon, where Oregon State University is, where I played ball.
Okay. And you, the last time you were in Pittsburgh was when?
50 years ago.
50 years ago. Wow. So did it shock you when you came to the city? Because from a landscape standpoint, the landscape is totally different.
Well, we didn't have much time to really do anything in the city during the season. And I was married and had two kids. We didn't have a car back here. We lived out in Mount Lebanon in an apartment, so I took the bus to and from the arena, and my wife did the same thing to the games. And so we didn't have much chance to really explore the area.
So right now, the former site of the basketball team, the Pittsburgh Pipers, used to be the Civic Arena, and now it's a parking lot, and it is planned for some development there. But did you have a chance to even walk over and just dribble a basketball on the parking lot?
No, I just walked by and saluted it.
Okay, yeah. Well, before you leave town, Jim, take a opportunity to go over and just bounce a basketball on it. You know, bring back some fond memories.
Rhythmic still?
It's still there, so okay. It's great having you on the set. Have fun tonight. I know you will, and we look forward to the rest of the night and having more of your players stop by for an interview as well.
Well, we really had a good time this afternoon because they gave us an opportunity to share our lives since then with each other.
Okay.
You know, and that was really a big part of this whole thing, I think. And
excellent.
We enjoyed it. So
this is fantastic.
Yeah.
Thanks again for coming by. And before you leave, I need to get your pick for the NBA.
Pick for the NBA?
Pick for the NBA.
Well, I'm a West Coast guy, so I got to take Frisco.
Frisco? Okay.
Yeah, Golden State.
Golden State, and playing against who?
Celtics.
Celtics, okay, nice. Yeah. And before you leave, since you did say you played a little bit of baseball, do you golf also?
Yes, I do.
So what's the hardest sport?
Well, I'll
baseball
tell you what.
Or golf?
Baseball or golf? Baseball is.
Thank you. When you see Bill Neal, you tell Bill Neal I asked you which sport was harder, and you said baseball. Because this is an ongoing argument on this program.
It ought to be obvious. The baseball is coming about 95 miles an hour, and it's round, and the bat is round.
Thank you. Two round objects
to be squarely met with any velocity is the most difficult thing I can think of.
You know what, Jim? I just met you, and I like you, man. Thanks a lot.
You bet. See you again.
All right.
So Kev, I can't believe you just did that. You went back to the same question. What is the hardest sport, baseball or golf? And you know, Jim, Smokey Jim says golf's not a sport.
You know, I just want an expanded survey. I don't want a limited field of information.
Okay.
So, fellas, based on that interview, Vince and Smokey and Jim, I know you were on the side listening to it all. What did you think? Did you hear anything new that you didn't know before? Starting with the basketball, because I thought the basketball was red, white, and blue, not orange, white, and blue.
And is that orange?
Man, the basketball is red, white, and blue. The official basketball for the ABA is red, white, and blue.
I mean, that's orange.
You should know orange. You're a Browns fan, man.
Yeah, that's orange, and that's red.
Well. Different. You know what?
For those of you at home that can't see, Vince just held the ball at Kevin.
Hey,
said the writing is orange.
Come over here for a minute. What color is this? What color is that? Yeah.
There you go.
She said a reddish color.
All right. Rita said it's a reddish color, so I need to go see my primary doctor because I'm getting older and, you know, my body is starting to change a little bit, and I guess I guess it's starting to affect my eyesight and everything.
Kev, it's red, white, and blue.
It's red, white, and blue. Okay.
Red, white, and blue.
You know, over the last couple of years, I started to break out readers anyway. So what can I say? I'm getting older, people. All right, so we'll move on. And we're going to talk about the NHL playoffs. And talking about Smoking Jim getting a team mad, I think the Penguins already beat Philadelphia, but Washington Nationals, I think they got the Penguins mad. And the Penguins came roaring back and took possession of the series. I'm not sure if you've been watching.
Oh, yeah, I've been watching.
You know, what's been going on, but as of Saturday night, the series was tied up 2-2. So now we're looking at a three-game series, and we're all rooting for the Penguins. But
not all of us.
My favorite player is Alex Ovechkin.
Hold on. Trav, I know you're the producer, but we don't need you for this segment.
See?
Go ahead, Smoking Jim.
My favorite player is Alex Ovechkin.
Does he play for the Penguins? He's the best.
No, because he got 600 goals, 200 more goals than anybody else in hockey.
I don't even know him. Who does he play for?
He plays for the Washington Capitals. This is the year of Ovechkin. The Penguins only tied the series up because Wilson gets a three-game suspension, but he'll be back for Game 7. Wilson is the enforcer for the Washington Capitals. I don't think the Penguins win another Stanley Cup without their goal star, Fleury, who is now lighting it up, doing well for Las Vegas. So I look for Washington Capitals to beat the Penguins in Game 7 when Wilson returns to the lineup, because he was suspended by the commissioner of the NHL, and it wasn't fair. It wasn't
just
a fair suspension, three-game suspension.
Smoking Jim, just to let you know, man, if you keep coming on this program and getting stuff wrong, we can't continue to have you back, man. I mean, you got to bring the knowledge. You have to bring the knowledge. Anybody could come on and just say anything. We got a president that just says anything. You know, give us good information.
Alex, is the Pittsburgh Penguins have never won a Stanley Cup in the Crosby era without Fleury. You need two goalkeepers. Murray's glove hand is suspect. Alex Ovechkin got 13 points in 9 playoff games. He's hot. But the National Hockey League suspending Wilson unfairly for 3 games in the middle of a play is unheard of.
Well, he deserved it.
For what? For breaking somebody's jaw? Knocking somebody's teeth out?
Exactly.
For what? That's hockey. That's hockey.
Well, you have to have the right behavior.
They suspended him because he laughed at the Penguins at their own home ice, and none of the players did anything. He sat in the penalty box and laughed at them.
Well, 2 years ago, didn't that happen in the NBA championship?
We talking hockey right
now. You said who would do that? And I'm just letting you know, it happened in the NBA with Green for Golden State.
The physicality is not part of the NBA. That was a clean hit according to hockey.
You're making excuses. A suspension is a suspension.
Can you hit somebody up against the boards in basketball? Since when? Maybe an Aliquippa Beaver Falls game. Maybe you can do it.
Hey.
Shinley Fifth Avenue game.
We need to do to get the job done in Aliquippa. All right? And when it comes to Beaver Falls, that's not even a match anyway, so let's not even talk about that. Vince, what do you think about this Penguins series?
I did pick the Penguins to win it all just because I thought they had – I mean, you got Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin. Matt Murray, who played well last year and played well, has played well during the season. I agree. I think that you do have to have two goaltenders. I think the Capitals issue, to me, part of the issue is I think they need to get more shots. You know, I mean, Matt Murray had 20 saves. I think in the third period, the Caps only had 3 shots on goal. I mean, you got to get more production. And I think Washington will be more determined to get over the hump. You know, like we talked about basketball, you got to go through somebody to get to the championship.
Right.
You know, Pittsburgh has been Washington's kryptonite. So I can see Washington getting ahead in the series. If it goes seven games and you got Wilson back, you know, that may swing it. I don't know which way that swings it.
You listening to this, Kevin?
I'm listening. Ears wide open.
But I picked the Penguins to win it all, but I can see Washington winning this series, you know, being extra motivated to kind of get over that hump.
Yes, no, man. No. No. You're hedging again. You cannot hedge on this show, man.
Okay. I mean, you know, it's my first time, so I'll definitely know by the next time I come on.
No, that's not good enough. Give me a pick. If you don't give me a pick, it won't be a next time.
I'll go with my original pick. I picked the Penguins to win it all in the first place, so I'll stick with my.
Nice.
I won't flip flop.
Hey, you can come back.
Thank you. Thank you.
What you think, Trev?
Oh, now you want to hear what I got to say?
Now I can come back. Save you from last.
You're not going to like what I got to say.
Well, whatever.
Well, all right. So this round.
Just like you know, my family knows when I just say whatever, that means I'm really not paying attention.
Yeah, well,
anyway.
It's okay. it's all good. Because I know everybody else that's listening can hear what I'm about to say. Well, the Pittsburgh Penguins, they'll get past the Washington Capitals because the Capitals, they go up and down. They're on a roller coaster.
I'm listening,
and it's a lot of times when you're expecting the Capitals to come through and do it for you. And Jim knows this, and I'm looking at him when I'm saying it. The Capitals always seem to fail. They find some reason or some way to just drop the ball or the puck, so to speak. So I think the Penguins will get them. I think it will go seven, but I'm not a Penguins fan. But I don't think the Penguins win a third Stanley Cup.
No.
Not this year. No.
No,
it's not happening.
No three-peat, huh?
No three-peat.
So we have Boston and Tampa Bay.
Go Tampa Bay Lightning.
It's going towards Tampa Bay, possibly, playing the Penguins. By the time this airs, maybe we'll know. So we need to watch out for that series as well. And then, on the other side, we have Winnipeg. That series is tied up 2-2 as of Saturday night.
And you know, Mark Whitehead came onto the show and he said that he likes Winnipeg because he thinks they have a great offense and that they'll probably beat the Predators. I'm going for the Predators because you got P.K. Subban, who's playing for the Predators. And I'm also going for the Las Vegas Golden Knights because you got Malcolm Subban, P.K.'s brother, who's the goaltender for the Las Vegas Knights. I'm looking for the Pittsburgh to come out of the East, but they're going to face Las Vegas in the West for the title.
You just like to see that catfish being thrown on the ring, man.
Yeah, I said P.K.
I think that's what you like.
No problem.
You know, you like all that nasty catfish being thrown all over the place.
Yeah.
What kind of place is that? Smoking gym? Going into an arena and you got catfish all over the place. Smelling up the joint. Who wants that, man? I want them to lose just because they do that. All right, so the last series when it comes to the hockey playoffs, we have your team, Smoking Gym. Vegas
well,
against
like
San Jose.
Too. I think it's time for the Canadian. It's time for Canada to. They're overdue to win another cup. But yeah, my favorite team is Las Vegas because of Fleury. And it should be your favorite team too. He brought you three Stanley Cups.
No, he likes Pittsburgh. If you leave Pittsburgh, Kevin ain't feeling you no more.
Again, I'm very objective on my assessments, and based on the little bit I know about hockey, I know who has the better players, and I still believe the Penguins have the better players, so I think they'll three-peat.
Who has the best player? Alex Ovechkin is the best player.
This is a team sport. This is a team sport. Now, if we want to talk about individual sport, we'll transition.
Well, Washington had the best record. Does that mean team sport? Washington Capitals had the best record this year in hockey.
The Houston Rockets in the NBA had the best record, and I'm not picking Houston. Okay? It's Golden State all the way, especially in the 82-game series. But you know what? We're going to transition because we have less than 5 minutes to wrap this segment up. I want to talk some golf. I want to talk about my boy Tiger Woods coming back in the Wells Fargo Championship and the way he's been playing. Tiger is really gearing up. I know he had a disappointing second round. Pretty good first round, disappointing second round. His third round was good. He got it to minus one, and we'll see how he finishes up the tournament. But I'm very encouraged with his play thus far.
And you know what, Kev, if I may, you know what, it's unfair. And you say disappointing, but it's disappointing per Tiger Woods' standards.
Exactly. Because
Tiger has set the bar at such a high level.
Yes.
That the average golfer or even the average professional golfer, a disappointing day for Tiger Woods is probably their best day or close to one of their best days. Now, I give it to you. He's coming back from back surgery. He's coming back from injuries, and he hasn't been as sharp. But that's according to Tiger Woods' standards. You know, when you're looking at golf, I mean, the level that he's put that bar at, I mean, I don't think to me, between Tiger Woods and Serena Williams, they never had to play another match or another golf round ever again because they already proved that they're the best.
And you know what I want to see, fellas? I want to sit here one day and talk about victories, and you all can let me know what you think.
Talk about what?
I want to see victories, Tiger Woods and Serena Williams in the same weekend. Can that happen? Can that happen
again?
No.
Yes. Yes. Emphatically, yes.
Vince is holding back. What you got for it, Vince?
Well, obviously, I think Serena can come back and dominate her sport. I don't know if Tiger, like, you know, again, you just talked about there's a certain standard. You know, when we talk about Tiger Woods in golf, I don't know that Tiger can get back to that level of dominance. I think he can win tournaments. But I'm not sure he can win major tournaments.
Only time you'll see Tiger Woods win another tournament if they have CIAAs for golfers.
Whoa. I disagree with that, Smoking Jeff. But before we break and move on to the next segment, I want from each of you one name. Who's going to win the next major first, Tiger Woods or Serena Williams? Right. Go ahead, Smoking Jeff.
It ain't Tiger, so it's got to be Serena.
Oh, that's easy. That's easy. Serena.
I'm going with Tiger. What you think, Trev?
Tiger.
All right. 2-2 again.
I'm going with Tiger.
2-2. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap up this segment. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of Major League Baseball and see if we could get maybe a couple more interviews from the ABA World Champions 50-year anniversary. We'll see you all in a minute.
To advertise on Urban Media Today, call 412-424-7045. Urban Media Today is an online blog magazine specializing in urban lifestyle, finance, entertainment, HBCU sports, and more. With 24/7 exposure and online exclusives, email editor at urbanmediatoday.com or call 412-424-7045.
Welcome back, everyone. We are recording at the 1968 Pittsburgh Pipers ABA World Champions 50-year anniversary reunion. As I indicated before, we did win a professional basketball championship in the city of Pittsburgh. And the Pittsburgh Pipers was the last team to do it in 1968. So we are very happy to actually record on site, Vince. And again, Vince Butts is a guest on our program. And we are happy to have him on board. He's from Urban Media Talk Sports.
I'm happy to be here. Enjoying my time.
And we also have Trevin A. Jones from Urban Media Today Talk Sports as well. And he produces our show on a weekly basis.
I'm always here. No big
deal. Right. And hey, you really make our show what it is, and we appreciate it. And we have Smoking Jim Frazier. He's still on board as well. So we're going to talk some Major League Baseball. And since we're here in Pittsburgh, Vince, we always kick the show off with this segment anyway, talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Okay.
And it's been like a roller coaster ride so far this year, Vince. Yeah. The Pittsburgh Pirates.
That's to be expected.
Yeah. Well, I predicted between 65 and 70 wins this year. Mm-hmm. If you talk to Mark Whitett, he thinks I said 65, but I said between 65 and 70. You know, baseball, you play 162 games.
Right.
And there's no way you could come up with an exact number.
Right.
But I don't expect the Pirates to do a whole lot. And right now, as we sit here today, they went from first place last week when we did our show. Matter of fact, we normally record on a Monday, and we're recording on a Saturday. So they went from first place to fourth place in a span of probably about, 5 days?
Right.
That's pretty amazing.
So you called it, Kevin. You called it.
Didn't I call? Hey, Smoking Jim, you can come back too, man. So when you see Bill Neal, tell Bill. Just tell him the real
deal. He ain't going to listen.
I know he won't listen, but you can try to get through to him. You know, because I'm Smoking Jim, I'm trying to give him some good knowledge. I'm trying. So, you know, hard head, you got to beat that hard head a number of times before you bang it in. And then when they're laying there in a prone position, they have no choice but to listen.
Right.
So I'm going to do whatever's necessary. Whatever's necessary. But we're going to talk about the Pirates anyway. Well, what do you see going on, Vince? And since we have you, you're Indians fan. Cincinnati Indians, right? Or is it Cleveland?
Come on, man. You know it's Cleveland.
All right, but, all right.
In terms of the Pirates, I think the silver lining for them so in early in this season is that they're only a couple games out. So if they can find a way to overachieve, bring some young guys up and get some, you know, here's an opportunity where you talk about young guys getting experience, throwing them into the fire, and trying to get some wins out of them. And I know we're talking a different sport, but before we're talking about football, but baseball now, I mean, the Pirates are obviously not interested in keeping players and paying them. So, you know, you got to rely on young guys to come up and give you some contributions. So, like I say, the silver lining is that they're only a couple games out of first place. So if they can start to gain some momentum, get some guys to overachieve, then maybe they can surprise some people. Maybe they can get past, you know, those 60, 65, 70 wins.
And I'm glad, Vince, you said overachieve, because that's the Pirates' strategy. And that's what drives me crazy about this organization. They bring in players that are players where they're pretty much marginal, but the thought process from a Pirates standpoint is if we could get them to overachieve,
right,
we could have a decent season. And it's just hard to get a number of players at the same time to overachieve.
Right.
You know, you might get one, maybe two, but you're not going to get four or five to overachieve and have a decent season.
That's why I think the front office is doing the fans a disservice by not, you know, keeping guys that they traded with their number one pitcher, got rid of McCutchen.
Cole.
Yeah, Gerrit Cole, got rid of McCutchen, you know, who wasn't a young guy, but, you know, he was probably the heart and soul of your team. And you got to have those guys that can provide some leadership. And I think McCutch, you know, I think Cutch was that guy. So when to me, it just the organization doesn't show a commitment to truly winning when you don't bring guys to your organization, develop them, keep them, sign them to long-term deals, sign them, get into that second big contract. I think that's kind of the problem, is they don't want to pay that second big contract.
Well, the Pirates paid some players like McCutcheon.
Right, but then when he was, you know, I mean, you could have, Josh Harrison's good, but he's not moving up to the upper echelon of stardom.
And, right.
You know, he's a player that's going to come every day. He's going to work hard. He's going to give you everything he's got. So he fits right in. But you got to have superstars. Got to have superstars.
Jim, what you got over there for us, man?
Well, first of all, the Pittsburgh Pirates is doing everything that you predicted, Kevin, and it's predictable. You know, you can't win without starting pitching. Pirates don't have that. You know, other than Adam Frazier, for namesake, I'd get rid of the whole team. But listen, the Pittsburgh Pirates, everybody knows I'm a professional gambler. So long as they lose 76 or under, I got heavy money in Vegas before the season started. So that's all I care about. And I think they're well on their way of making me some money again this year, Kevin.
And what was the bet again?
76 and under.
76 and under. You might as well just go right to the bank, man. You don't even have to wait. And I'm sure they're probably sending you a check right now. So, you know, I can't say anything wrong as far as that move there, but I'm not a gambler. That's the only thing I can say. Trey, what do you think about these Pirates, man? They're sliding again.
I'm finished with you and the Pirates and all the Major League thing. I mean, it's like the Pirates, they were just at 500 earlier this week, okay? By Wednesday, I think when we normally record your show, they were at 500, if I'm not mistaken.
No, not 500. They've been over 500. I don't think they were ever at 500. They were 17-11 earlier in the week.
Because I thought they were 16-16, and I was like, okay, man, I'm just done.
Yeah.
But I mean, like Vince said, and like you have been saying, and you've been preaching, I didn't really hear Jim saying much about it. But it's, you're getting rid of your players. When you get rid of your players, like star power, you know, that's what attracts fans too. And star power actually adds to the momentum of the organization and the team. So when you get rid of the star power, because when they got rid of Kutch, they lost me. I mean, I really mean that. They lost me when they got rid of Kutch. Because it's like, okay, I heard fans talking about, you know, trading him years ago. And it's like, well, for the past 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. And then they finally did it. So when they pulled the string on that one, I'm kind of like, you know what, Pittsburgh, you don't want any superstars. And I think that's because they don't want to spend money. So that's my thoughts on it. I'm with you, Kev. If they get 65, that's good. But I don't know if they make 65, to be honest with you.
Okay, so we'll go over to the other side of the league, the American League. And I believe your boys, Vince, mm-hmm. I believe your boys are in the American League Central.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The Cleveland Indians, and mm-hmm. they're in first place as of Saturday night. Mm-hmm. But as I indicated before, the division is just in bad shape right now. They're the only winning team in that division. But give us a little bit of information regarding the Cleveland Indians. So we have to take advantage of having you here, you know, with the knowledge that you have about the Indians.
I mean, it's early. You know, the Indians still have to maintain, have to figure out some consistency in this season. They got to start taking advantage of their superior starting pitching. And I don't think they've really done that yet. I mean, they have Carlos Carrasco and Trevor Bauer. I think they're struggling more in their hitting. So, and usually, I guess, in the first part of the season, pitching kind of gets you through, and then the hitting comes around. So, I mean, I expect the Indians to start to separate themselves as their hitting gets on track.
Okay. So they should be in good shape to win the division.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Is what you're saying.
There's no one that's going to really compete with them within the division. So you know, that's your main goal, win the division and get stronger as the season goes on. Your superstars have to start to step up, get some young guys, get some experience, and then you start rolling in the playoffs.
Rolling in the playoffs. I was going to mention that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they'll be one and done, or do you think that they might be able to win a series in the playoffs? Because, you know, you got some real strong teams over in the American League. You're talking about the Boston Red Sox as of Saturday night, 23-9, mm-hmm. and they were expected to be a World Series prospect.
Mm-hmm.
You have the New York Yankees, who's right on their heels as well, 23-10 at the end of Saturday. And then you have Toronto. Those three teams coming out of the American League East.
And they're going to beat themselves, all three of those teams.
That's
going
to
beat
hope.
Themselves up.
That's what you hope, huh?
I mean, they're all pretty evenly matched, record-wise, talent-wise. Yeah, they're going to battle it out in that division. And so one of those teams, who is probably very good, they're not going to make the playoffs, right? I mean,
you have two wild card teams. So that's what I was just looking at. And then you have Houston, you know, farther down, and Houston is balling. So,
but like you always say, Kev, it's a marathon, man. It's not a sprint.
But so, we're talking playoffs here.
Yeah. So, and when you're looking at the playoffs, I'm thinking that the New York Yankees are going to gain momentum as you go into September, October,
right.
You know,
Yankees are hot.
Yeah, exactly.
Right
and
now,
they're going to get even hotter, you know, as you get into towards the playoffs. So when you're looking at the American League, I already picked the Yankees to win it all.
I did too.
You know, because you got too much power. You just got too much hitting strength. The lineup, they can maneuver the lineup to put their hitters where they want to, and the fielding has been outstanding. So like you said, they're hot right now. I think they're going to get hotter. You know, when we reach the fall and it gets cooler outside, I think the Yankees are going to be red hot. Just my opinion.
Got it. And let me, you know, on this show, Trev, we always try to enlighten people. And if we could provide a little bit more knowledge, that's what we like to do.
Right.
And Vince, since you're a Cleveland Indians fan, there's a guy in the organization, he's a manager, Terry Francona.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name? Terry?
Yeah, Terry Francona.
Francona.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you realize where Terry's from?
Did he play? I thought he played in Boston. Is he from Pittsburgh? I'm assuming you're asking because he's probably from Pittsburgh or Western Pennsylvania somewhere.
Your assumption is right. And what I'm getting to is Terry Francona is from a place in the Pittsburgh area that is New Brighton, Pennsylvania.
Okay. All right.
And the reason that I bring that up too, Trev, I was born in New Brighton.
Okay.
Okay. So right. I just had to drop that. I'm from Aliquippa, raised in Aliquippa, but my birthplace is New Brighton.
Okay.
So next time you talk to Terry, just let him know you were on my show.
All right.
Let him know that I gave his information and how we relate to each other.
Is he going
to
welcome me with open arms or is he going to give me the cold shiver?
Hey, Vince, like, once you mention New Brighton and Beaver County.
I mean, if I mention Kevin Cameron.
You're in. All that.
Okay.
All that.
All right.
You know, mention Beaver County, mention New Brighton, you know. You're good to go, man.
Okay,
he'll probably have you in a dugout for a game.
All right. I'll definitely mention it to him then.
And moving on, as far as other things in baseball, I'm not sure if you all had the opportunity to see what Albert Pujols just did. Smokey Jim, you didn't hear about that, man.
No, I didn't
hear. You're looking at me like I'm crazy, but he just got his 3,000 hit.
Congratulations.
And he has over 600 home runs.
Wow.
So there's only four players in Major League Baseball history that has 3,000 hits and 600 home runs.
First ballot Hall of Famer?
He's definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer.
That's what we thought about Barry Bonds.
That's exactly.
Barry Bonds is a first ballot Hall of Famer. So that's without question.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Smokey.
And the greatest player of all time, Pete Rose.
I don't think so.
You know what?
4,000 hits.
Smokey
Charlie Hustle.
He's not the greatest player of all time.
17 All-Star games. Pete Rose.
He's not even close.
Greatest of all time. They should have his number retired.
Smokey and Jim Frazier, let me tell you something. Next time you are banned, you are banned on this show from calling anybody or any team the greatest of all time. What you think about that, Trev?
I don't think he's bad, but I like it when he does it because he's just an antagonizer. You know, he knows Golden State's not the greatest team of all time.
Three-time World Series, World Series MVP, Rookie of the Year, League MVP, 4,000 hits.
No,
that ain't the greatest?
No. He's not the greatest of all time.
And he's the greatest All-Star game player of all time.
He's not the greatest of all time.
Ask them catchers.
He's a Hall of Famer. I give him that.
He could play any position other than pitcher.
And you know how many Negro League baseball players in the day could have played any position, including pitcher?
What you say?
Are you kidding me? I said, do you know how many Negro League players could have played any position?
Oh, I agree with that.
Pitcher?
I agree with that.
All right, Pete Rose is not the greatest of all time.
That. You're right.
Not
good
even
point.
Close.
But way to back
good
him
point,
down,
Trev.
I like that.
I didn't think of it that way, but you're right.
Because you're saying all time.
Yeah,
when you say
right,
all time, man,
point.
You know how some of us have been forgotten.
You know what?
Yeah,
okay.
You know what, man? Let me say this. You just went from smoking Jim Frazier to cooling Jim Frazier. Because Trev just cooled you down.
But no,
can
no,
you
that's
name
my boy, though.
Somebody better
still
than
good.
Pete Rose?
I
can name a lot of players better than Pete Rose. Starting
with 4,000 hits. Let's start there.
4,000 hits?
They got to have 4,000 hits to be better than him, right?
How many did Pete Rose have?
Over 4,000 hits.
I'll have to look that up.
You don't believe me?
I'll have to look that up. But regardless, baseball is more than hits.
17 All-Star games.
What was
the
slugging percentage?
17 All-Star games.
Well, we know that's a
Smokey
popularity
Jim.
Contest anyway.
I'm going to ask this question, and I'm going to tell you how I feel about it. Is Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame?
He should be, no.
Okay, I think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
First
there.
I don't.
But I don't think that he's the greatest of all time. Now, he made a mistake betting on his own team. I get that.
And his former wife said he's still betting.
He's competitive. He got the bet.
But you got
to follow the rules. It's an addiction like alcohol and drugs, and nobody forgives him because of it.
But I don't think that should keep him out of the Hall. But he's still not the best of all time.
4,256 hits for Pete Rose.
There you go.
Dropping the knowledge.
Now Kevin's on my team. Kevin's in
the knowledge.
Kevin's agreeing with me now.
No, he did. Kevin still did not say that Pete Rose was the greatest player of all time.
That's right. That's right.
What's up, coach?
He
did not say that.
And again, Smoking Jim, you got to understand, I didn't say he didn't have 4,000 hits. I told you I would look it up. And I looked it up, and you just happened to be right. Smoking Jim. I never said he did not have it.
Say that again. Smoking Jim is right.
You were right. And I'm glad.
There's a hook in that.
You know what? You've been on this program the last 3 weeks, and this is the first time you were right.
Wait a minute. Hold up. You're saying that he's right, and he's going to sit over there and gloat because he spit a statistic at you? A statistic? When he said the man was the greatest of all time, and he gave you a lot of statistics?
Well,
he's bragging about somebody that just got 3,000 hits, so I know he's impressed with 4,000
you know what?
That's almost impossible.
What's better?
That's literally impossible.
We're talking about Albert Pujols.
Right.
So what's better, 3,000 hits and over 600 home runs, or over 4,000 hits?
4,000 hits and 3 World Series championships.
Not at all. Let me tell you something. You could get hits and be left on base. But when you hit home runs, you get RBIs.
If you were starting a team today and you get to pick one player, who's the first player you pick out to be Charlie Hustle,
Not
Pete Rose?
Not at all. Not at all. I need a run
you would,
producer.
You would take Pujols over him?
What's that?
You would take Pujols over?
I would definitely take Pujols.
Over who?
Over Pete Rose?
But they play different positions. I mean, Pete Rose,
I'm
like
saying,
you said,
if
he
you
play
started
any
a team today and you got one player to pick
today,
the first player you got to pick is Pete Rose.
Barry Bonds.
For what? Would you go now? You got to go
Bonds.
Out and buy a leather chair, reclining chair for the middle of the locker
you
room.
You got to do the same thing for Pete Rose. Don't sleep. You got to do the same thing for Pete Rose. Charlie Hustle was not, he wasn't the easiest person to get along
that's
with.
That's true.
And he did
true.
Have his requirements when he played ball.
But he liked 15 and 16-year-old girls other than
see,
that.
See, I'm not even going there.
You're nitpicking now.
Not even going there. Not even going there.
But again, Smoking Jim, like I said, or Cooling Jim, I should say, don't come in here again talking about the greatest of all time because your stuff is just out in left field, or right field, I should say, because I'm not agreeing with any of it. But let's talk about a former Pittsburgh Pirate as well who's really kicking butt.
Who?
Garrett Cole. Garrett Cole.
He's loving life.
Wow. He's killing
he's life.
Is that right?
After the move.
Through seven starts, I think he has like 76 strikeouts.
Wow. That's
third most of all time. Third most.
Wow.
So, I mean, you have to recognize greatness. He's at a Cy Young level. Can you imagine that? The Pirates just got rid of him.
I can imagine it.
And if he continues this, he'll be up possibly for the Cy Young.
Wow.
But, Kev, isn't that where when you think about things like that with certain players, it seems like a relief that it just comes over those players, and it seems like they get a little bit more freedom. And maybe they fit the system. Maybe the players around them are more chummier. You know, it just seems like they get comfortable and they start to perform better than they were performing with their old team.
I agree with you 100%. You know, the pressure is not on Garrett Cole the way it was here in Pittsburgh. He's the fourth starter in their rotation. Well, let me just say, he started off as the fourth starter. So who knows, once they get to the playoffs, where he'll be moved.
Now, what about pitch count? Do you think pitch count will affect him?
That's a good question. You always have to be aware of pitch count for any pitcher these days, you know, more especially with the money that is invested in these pitchers these days. So that's a good point. Vince, I'm not sure if you've been following what Garrett Cole has been doing and what your feelings are regarding from a pitch count standpoint.
He's had some arm issues, so you always have to be concerned about that. But I'm concerned for the Pirates. I mean, you give up. I mean, he goes to Houston, who was already a perennial powerhouse, and you make them stronger, and in return, I mean, you get Joe Musgrove. Michael Phelps?
I don't even think he pitched yet, did he?
I mean,
Joe Musgrove?
Yeah. I mean, you give up a guy who, like you said, potentially is a Cy Young Award winner. For what? I mean, why wouldn't you keep a guy like that? And he's fourth in Houston. He's the fourth starter for Houston.
Yes.
I mean, he was your number one starter here. He was your ace here. So, I mean, that tells you how good Houston is. When he goes from an ace to one staff, now he's the fourth pitcher on another.
Right.
That just makes them all the more stronger.
And let me say this. I know there's been seven starts.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, Trev and Smoking Jim, if you remember last week, I talked about ERA. And what a good ERA is for a starting pitcher in the major league. And I says a good ERA is probably between 2.5 and 3.5. Mm-hmm. You got Garrett Cole into seven starts, and his ERA is an amazing 1.42. So that's how much he's kicking butt. So I just can't say enough. And just to transition from there, I know we talked about the Yankees a little bit already.
I love them.
You love them?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love. Boy, they got some guys that can hit it out the park, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, they started off struggling, and now they're really heating up. And you have the Red Sox that's kind of holding them back a little bit. They were only a game in front of them as of Saturday night. So I'm really looking forward to watching some good baseball. You know, when I turn on the TV, look for baseball games. You know, I like to see the Angels and the Yankees and the Red Sox. If I see Cleveland, I turn it off.
Well, if you watch the Yankees, you're going to watch the Indians because they're playing them.
Well, so. I don't watch that game. And then when it comes to the Pirates, Trev, I just watch the Pirates on TV just so when I come here, I can have the knowledge to share with everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get you.
But I won't go to a game. You won't catch me at a Pirate game.
Mr. Neal says you're going in May.
I am not going. I'm not going. So if you want my tickets, Smoking Gym or Cooling Gym, you can have it.
I want it.
And just as a reminder again to our listening audience, we're recording Saturday night at the 1968 Pittsburgh's ABA World Champions 50-year anniversary reunion. If I could just read the names from the ABA World Champions Pittsburgh Pipers, too, because I want to make sure that they're recognized. And there's probably, I believe, I was told 11 of the members are here.
Wow.
But I'll read the roster, and I'll start off with Craig Deal, Calvin Graham, Charlie Williams. And if I could go back, Craig Deal was a center, Calvin Graham a guard, Charlie Williams guard, Jimmy Jarvis guard, Ira Harge center, Arista Kelly guard, Leroy Wright forward, Barry Liborik guard, Dexter Westbrook forward, Bill Mayer guard, Tom Kerwin forward, Steve Fastak guard, Herschel Turner guard. And hopefully I did not miss anyone from the team. And Bill Neal just joined us. And Bill, if you could provide some comments.
Well, if things went according to plan or as usual, you probably missed some because you miss all kind of stuff. You missed the Pirates.
I was trying to miss you.
Excuse me, I think it's my turn.
You came and said something.
You've probably been talking for 2 hours. I think it's my turn. You missed the Pirates being the great team that they are. You called it wrong on Tiger Woods. You said Tiger Woods would win the Masters. You said LeBron James was going to fall to the Pacers. So I'm pretty sure you missed some names. You've been missing everything else.
I thought we were talking about the ABA. And the ABA 50-year reunion experience.
You'd probably miss when if you was in a tornado. But listen, that's not why I'm here. We just want to wrap up in all seriousness. Appreciate you guys taking the helm. Joined forces of Urban Media Today, Talk Sports team, and the Soul Take Champions Live team joined forces today to be a part of this historic and momentous occasion. Jim Frazier knows that champions aren't born, they're made. And Champions Association now – Achieving Greatness Incorporated put together this magnificent event with the help of Mark Cuban, primary sponsor, and the Pittsburgh Penguins, and Bill and Jack Goodrich, attorney Dwayne Woodruff, Rich Fitzgerald. You know, all those people have helped to make this whole thing possible. So we just want to thank everybody for coming out and being a part of this event. The ABA Pittsburgh Pipers 50-year anniversary team being reunited here for the first time in 50 years. They won the title 50 years ago tonight at the old Civic Arena, becoming the first ABA world champions. Connie Hawkins, the MVP of the league, the leading scorer of the league. Connie Hawkins, the MVP of the team, leading scorer of the team, thus making him the LeBron James of his time. We had a press conference this afternoon, and we asked those players on the ABA team, guys, legitimately, could you have beat the 68 Boston Celtics? And without hesitation to a man, they said absolutely. So at that time, because there were only 10 teams in the NBA, things were a whole lot tighter. The NBA and the ABA were fighting for the best players in the world. Billy Knight was at the press conference today, and he said he wanted to go to the ABA because it was a faster, more exciting game. So people sometimes think the ABA was this great big king on the hill, and the ABA was the fledgling peasants down in the valley. It wasn't like that. They were on even terms, and without question, these guys said, yeah, we would have beat Boston and anybody else we had to play. So they're all here, the remaining living members of the ABA Pittsburgh Pipers. The great Billy Knight, All-American, who was just inducted into Pitt's first class of Hall of Famers, along with Tony Dorsett and a couple others. He's here. He'll be our keynote speaker. If the Sensation Models are here, Jim Frazier needs to know that. He needs to know if he's going to get a ride home. He knows if there's a Sensation Model in the house, he'll get a ride home. They feel sorry for him is what it is. They feel sorry for him. And Mark Whited, who's authoring the book, Pittsburgh's Forgotten Champs, has done a tremendous job going around the country, rounding these guys up. And Councilman Dan Lavelle, State Representative Austin Davis, all have contributed to making this event the success that it is. So I know that everything has probably been covered, and I know you guys had a chance to talk to everybody. I just wanted to get my two cents in here on behalf of Urban Media Today, Sports Talk, and Soul Take Champions Live. We thank everybody for being a part of this moment, and look forward to talking to you all soon. We'll be back on the air on Monday, and Kevin will make another prediction that won't come true.
Hey, Bill, one question before we let you go, man. What color is this, the ball?
Red, white, and blue. It's red, white, and blue.
Is it orange or red?
It's red, white, and blue.
Okay.
It's red, white, and blue. Now, who thought it was orange? Which one of you?
I thought maybe it was orange.
And why did I not think it was you? Why did I not think it was you?
It looks orange, man.
Well, then you need to get your eyes checked. And if you open up a book every now and then, the ABA was a red, white, and blue league.
I said I thought it was red, white, and blue.
Why would they make the ball orange if it was a red, white, and blue ball?
When I see the ball... It
ladies and gentlemen,
orange, man.
Champions aren't born, they're made. And we make them better than anyone.
Soul Take. Champions Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
In your hand, you have $19.99. What could you do with that? You can fill up your gas tank. Stop by a local coffee shop. You may need to add a little bit more to that. Maybe a matinee ticket to the movies. Matinee, though. What about subscribing to UrbanMediaToday.com? No, think about it. For just $19.99, you'll receive exclusive podcasts, interviews, entertainment updates, sports reports, and more. A VIP subscription to Urban Media Today is more than just a magazine subscription. It's access to the urban lifestyle. UrbanMediaToday.com is your only source for HBCU sports. Plus, you have direct access to awesome prizes like gift cards, swag, concert tickets, and your $19.99 supports another minority-owned business. That's pretty cool, right? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com right now and subscribe for just $19.99 a year. Not a month, not a week, but a year. You've always wanted to be a VIP, right? Well, here's your chance. Subscribe today for just $19.99 at UrbanMediaToday.com. You can thank us later. To advertise on Urban Media Today, call 412-424-7045. Urban Media Today is an online blog magazine specializing in urban lifestyle, finance, entertainment, HBCU sports, and more. With 24/7 exposure and online exclusives, email editor at UrbanMediaToday.com or call 412-424-7045.